Today is May 27th, 1984. My name is Tika Ward. I am interviewing Vivian Hyatt. We are at 503 Southland Boulevard, Louisville, Kentucky. Our topic is Lou Tate and the Little Loom House. As we begin, Mrs. Hyatt, please tell me something about you.
Well, I am a retiree. I worked at Porcelain Metals for 23 years in the brushing department, enamel department. And then I worked at the Jewish Hospital several years ago in different, smaller jobs. And I am a weaver.
And you have children of your own?
I have four children of my own. I have three living children and one daughter that's passed on.
And you have grandchildren?
I have four grandchildren and three great-grandchildren.
Tell me how you first came to know Lou Tate.
Well, when I first came to move to Louisville, I went to the Wesley House. The ladies were weaving, and then some of them would leave during the afternoon and go out to Lou Tate's. They were talking about Lou Tate, you know. And I wondered about, you know, out there. They took small loom and they rode the streetcar out there. And they talked about walking up this long hill. And they talked about Lou Tate and everything. And so then after that, a few years after that, I noticed in the paper one morning that Lou Tate at the Little Loom House was having an open house. Visitors were welcome. And I thought, well, I believe I'm going to take a chance on finding it. And so I got on the streetcar there at the 22nd and Oak and rode, then transferred on to 3rd Street. And so when I got on the streetcar then, everybody was going to the Loom House. They were talking about it. And I thought, ooh, I don't have no problem about how to find the top of the hill. So then I was, you know, a friend, made friends with them on the way. Then so I was never a stranger at the Little Loom House anymore. So when we arrived, here came Lou Tate out. Hello there, how's everybody? And we went up to the top house. There was three houses. There was a Little Loom House. That was where she lived. And then there was what she called West Terror, was the middle house. And then the top house is where we did the weaving.
What were you doing at Wesley House?
Well, we were weaving rugs, rag rugs. They had these old-time looms, great big ones. And everybody was weaving a rug.
Were you teaching people?
No, I was just going there then.
Oh, to take lessons?
Yes, take lessons. It was a craft place, you know. Everybody went in the morning. And then later on, I took ceramics at night. Then I worked with those. And I helped Miss McNeil after I went a while, you know, after the children got larger.
When you went to see Lou Tate, you'd already had experience with
it. I'd had just wove rug. That was all.
So you went up there that first day.
I went up there that first day. The Agnes Scott was the lady that was going to teach the workshop. It was $2. And so then I went ahead and she showed me how to. I sat down at the loom just like the rest of them and did the technique, which I still know how to do, you know.
What kind of, tell about the technique.
It was tapestry interlock. She had came from Germany several years ago. She was a Swedish weaver, and she worked at one of those hospitals, Our Lady of Peace. She taught crafts there. But this was on a Saturday, and so she came and gave a workshop.
Was Lou Tate also walking around during all this?
She was there, yes, but she didn't do any weaving or anything. She just was best, you know, welcomed everybody. And then when time come for lunch, she got in her station wagon and went out and bought bologna and bread. Then we each chipped in and gave so much, and that was the lunch.
So you spent the whole day there?
Yes, the whole day, uh-huh.
And you were weaving what, a tapestry?
It was tapestry, uh-huh. She was just teaching the technique, you see. Well, and then she had a photographer there that took all of her pictures. So I am in one of those pages at the Loom House.
So the next time that you went to the Loom House?
Well, it was another open house she had, and she had Nell Peterson from the Art Center, and she was going to teach a class with color. And so she had different pieces of paper, you know, and matched them up, what colors went together and what would, you know, about weaving, what colors, how to put color in weaving. It was a little bit different from others, see, because the threads, you know, run across it and everything, and so it's how to put the dark and light color and how it changes, you know, and gives it different appearance.
Was this your first experience with weaving then?
Before we didn't weave any. She just demonstrated the color. she had some pieces of weaving and, you know, how it would use color in the weaving.
Had you read about it in the paper? Is that how you
Yeah, that was how I went again.
And then what about the next time you went, for instance?
Well, she had a lady from Wisconsin was visiting. And then I went one night. After work, I went, and this lady was there, and she had old, beautiful, she had brought several pieces of her weaving. But what impressed me was the skirt. She had on a skirt that she had woven little telephones in. All the way around it, her husband was a telephone man, and she had wove those in. And that was laid in. That's the technique you call laid in. And she had several beautiful pieces then.
And she spoke to you all about...
Yes, she talked to all of us and, you know, explained her pieces, you know, to all of them. Of course, it didn't mean anything to me because I wasn't a weaver at that time. I just enjoyed them. That's what, you know, inspiration inspired me to take the weaving later on then. So then it was quite a while then that she had a piece in the paper again about going to have classes. New classes opened up. And then's when I went and signed up for the classes. And that was in the winter time, and so she didn't heat the top house at that time, so she had us down in her cabinet then.
Oh, so you were able to learn how to weave right down in the cabin where she lived.
In the cabinet where she lived. She put things back over in one corner then. So then she had a class at NASA College, they call it now, which is Spalding. And so I went with her up there because I didn't get too much out there because the others were more advanced than I was. I was a beginner, and of course they got the tensions mostly. So she told me then I could go with her up there, which I did.
And you and she would travel over there together, you mean? Or
uh-huh.
You would?
Yes, uh-huh.
Would she come by and pick you up?
No. No, I went up on the bus, and then there was a couple of colored ladies from the West End teachers. They came back down Oak Street, and I came home with them. But I went to Tate's after work and helped her load the looms up and everything to take. She had a station wagon, and she filled that full of looms, you see, and she took them backwards and forth for the weave on for the class. It was every night. I think it was five nights. It was the sisters. They took weaving, too, there at the college, and then others had a whole class of them.
So you helped her, but you also learned how to weave.
I learned how to weave, and then after the class was over, then I had a ride home. A couple of the students went my way, and so I rode home with them. Then, of course, Tate went on. We helped her load the stuff back up, and she went on back up to her home.
What is the next thing you remember after that in terms of your history with weaving that you did?
Well, then she invited me to join the Kentucky Weavers.
Tell me what the Kentucky Weavers is.
Well, she told me it was an organization that we paid $5 a year, I believe it was, and then we could come out and weave on her looms. But we had to help, you know, thread up the looms and do a little housekeeping and things like that. And then we could go out our spare time, because I was working then. It would be mostly over the weekends that I would go out. And then when we went, we were stopped down at the well. She had a cistern, I guess it was. And we was to draw up some water and take it up the top of the hill because she had a commode in a little room the back of that, and it wasn't connected with the sewer or anything. So we carried the water up to flush the toilet.
Oh, that was part of your going there.
Yes, that was each one supposed to do that. Otherwise, she would have had to carry the water herself, but each one was supposed to have to take care of that.
And there was a well down at the bottom of the property?
It was a cistern, I guess you call it. Yes, we drawed it up with a great big long, old time thing. They put it down and it sank, you know, and then you brought it up and put it into the bucket.
Mostly you went on the weekends.
It was on the weekends because I worked. I had a full-time job, you see.
And then would you get to weave when you were there on the weekend? Did she have special classes?
No, it was just weavers come in and weave. She, a lot of times we wove for the house.
For the loom house?
For the loom house. So she used to sell pieces, you see. And then she had them for her pieces she wanted worked out, somebody to do, you know, and help thread up looms for her, because she gave workshops, you know, and she needed somebody to thread the looms and have them ready for the travel.
About how many people were members of the Kentucky Weavers?
Oh, that was a long group, because she had them all over the state at that time. And then she had a mailing. She mailed out a booklet once a month, pages of different patterns that she worked out, and a lot of them helped her with them, you know, and she printed them up herself then.
Yes, I was going to ask you about those pages. the publications?
There was about a dozen in each month.
What did she call that? What was the name of that? I can't remember.
Pages is all I ever heard them called because they were loose, you see.
And then she had a mailing list.
She had a mailing list that she mailed them to different ones. Whoever the subscribers were, they were supposed to receive a mailing once a month.
So she wrote this up and typed it and then got it copied.
She had a mammograph machine or something down at her house. I never seen that now. It wasn't long after I went there till she did away with that then, and she started having printers to do the pages for her.
And she started having publications that were bound.
Yes, she did have some of those. Weaving is Fun now was one that's bound, and Country something. Let's see what was.
Did you all ever do any of the weaving? So then you did the weaving. You would experiment with some of the weaving directions, probably.
Yes, because she mailed out the samples, went with some of these pages. And see, that's what we did, help do those samples. And then she cut the pieces up, you see, and then would staple them onto the page for other weavers over. Well, she sent them all over the world at that time.
Do you remember when she started the Kentucky Weavers Junior, for instance? I've heard of that. Kentucky Weavers Junior for the young people?
Well, now that was going on when I went there because I helped her with the scouts.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Would they come on Saturdays?
After school. After school.
And she would train them mm-hmm. in weaving?
Uh-huh. They would be the scout leader would bring a group, say, 20 or 30 at a time. That's a group of them, you see. Then she let so many weave, and then they step aside, and the next group would weave.
And everybody would get a turn.
Everybody got their turn. And then later on, we'd go out there on Sunday afternoons or the weekends, and there'd be a group of kids, and they always liked to gather those fossils. I used to take them up that path up to the top of the hill where that old quarry was, and they would pick up those fossils, you know, fossils. So they enjoyed doing those.
Did you help with the open houses?
Yes, I helped with the open houses most of the time. I usually took the guests around and showed them the weaving and told them about the weaving and the coverlets and things like that. And then she had little pieces for sale, you know, that I'd let them buy them. Then put the money in her pocket. She usually had a pocket. I just slipped the money and told her what I'd sold.
How long do you think you knew Lou Tate and went up to the little loom house?
Well, from the beginning, I guess it's about 30 years that I went there. But I didn't go regular until after I retired. Then I spent quite a bit of time out there. Then I went with a group of different things. Now, we went to the fair one year.
You yourself have won awards at the state fair, haven't you, for your weaving?
Yes, I've won sweepstake one year. Then I usually put in a few pieces every year to help the fair.
Is the first time you went out to the fair with Lou Tate?
No. No, I didn't go when she was going because Lou Tate used to be the judge, and then every year all the loom house members would put pieces in. They went out and wove pieces, like little hot mats and things, and then she sold them, and they put the money in a kitty, and that was for the prizes at the fair.
When Lou Tate taught you all, you took weaving lessons directly from her.
Yes, that's right.
Did she have a special technique?
No.
Of teaching you?
Well, she started out with the two-harness technique, and then we did the lace weave, and then she had us to do initial. And then she usually got you on a piece of just placemat or a bag or something that you could just go ahead and she wouldn't have to bother with you. That's usually what she aimed to do.
Would you get to keep those things or would you donate a lot of them to the loom house to sell?
Those first pieces were all in one big wall hanging. All the techniques that we learned from the lessons were in one piece. And we usually brought that home. But then later on, she told us to bring our own thread, and then we paid her for the warp, and we could weave. And that we're supposed to kept those. But if we used her thread, you see, we wove pieces for the house. She liked for each weaver to weave some special piece for her collection, and that was hers, you see. Because when anybody visited come, then she could show them different technique, different patterns, and had the name of different students that worked them out. She had weaving everywhere, because every time you went, she had different weaving, because she had traveling exhibits. You know, they swapped exhibits from all over the country, well, from, you know, different countries. that she had would send an exhibit, and in exchange they would send her one. And so there was always something different to see in weaving every time that you went. So it was an inspiration just to go, you know, and look around. So people, she had people from everywhere that come, when they come to town on vacation, why then they come, they always visit the little loom house before they went. She had Marlene Solander from Sweden. When she toured the United States, well, then she visited the little loom house and bought some pages and things from her. And then there's Florence Ackley from Canada was a great friend of hers, and she always came to the little loom house. She used to, years ago, she had an extra cot that they stayed at her house. They sit there, you see, and stayed there for about a week and exchanged ideas on weaving and everything. And the different weaving books over the years, they always had article, Baloo Tate. She always contributed, you know, to something for the other weavers. And then before she died, she went to, she made a visit to Canada to visit her friends there. Mary Black is a weaver, outstanding weaver, that she visited her. She kind of wanted me to go with her. She invited me to go with her. And she said if she ever went again, she wanted me to go with her. And so while she was in Canada, then she wrote me a letter and told me that she had 300 new patterns. And when she came home, she wanted me to help her work them out as soon as she came home. And so, well, she got home, that's about the time I got the letter then. So then then she wrote me a letter then that they were going to have a little party one afternoon after the loom house. This lady from Illinois, some doctor's wife, she worked with children in Illinois, and she was coming out to take some lessons or something from Tate, and she wanted to have a little, all of us get together and to meet her in the afternoon. So I went out, but when I got out there, she was cleaning. It was cleaning instead of a party. The lady was there. I did meet her, though. And so then I went back in the middle house there and looked around, and they was leaking. She had gone down to rest. She went down to her house, you know, to take a rest. And I said, what's leaking on this stuff? And so I gathered up all that stuff and put it all, scattered it all over the hillside, all those pieces of weaving and thread and everything. And so then when she woke up, I didn't know she was up. And so the lady come down the hill. She says, what on earth is going on here? And she stood there. She's like, I don't know. Baby did it. She didn't ask me. And I thought, oh, I did. She wasn't mad about it at all, because she kind of liked it. But she wanted me to put it back, because she wanted me to take her to the library and to the grocery, you know, that night. So I took her then to the library and to the grocery. She got a whole lot of books, but I took it. She forgot to take the books out, and when I got home, there was all those books. So I had to come out the next day then. But she said, I called her and told her, you know, I had the books. I'd come out the next morning and bring them. And she said I wasn't going to make it back that night because so much traffic. They had something going on in Iroquois Park. There was too much traffic. And the racetrack, too. And she told me not to come back that morning then because she was going to give this lady her lesson. So then I came back on Sunday afternoon, I believe it was. And then she had me to, she wanted me to weave myself some pieces then. She had a that was one of the patterns that she got from Canada. And she wanted me to have that, and she gave me the thread and everything and said, now you weave that and now for yourself. And so I sat down and wove for myself. She wanted me. When I visited the hospital for the first time after she'd gone in, well, she says to me, said, I want you to get all of the weavers together and the lawyer. Because I want to, when I get back home, she says, because I want to make a will, because I want to leave the little loom house to the weavers. And so then she got well, and she come back home then, but when she kept saying that she wanted to get us all together, but I was waiting for Sue Kendra to get back from Hawaii, because I wanted her to, you know, to have something to do with it, and I really didn't know who the weavers were. But anyway, we never got back together. Then after she went to the hospital, well, then she told me again that we must get together, you know, and make out a will. But then she was losing time and everything. And so then one of the nurses called Ann Piper then. And so she called the attorney then. And so he came in and he fixed out the will then like she wanted it then. So then when I went back to visit her again, she told me then that she had fixed the will and everything and what everything she wanted done and everything. And she says, now, Vivian, you know that the children's program is important to me because that's known for all over the world. And she says, after I'm gone, I want the children's program to go on. She says, do you have a little time today? And I said, yes, because I'm not going to have to go home, that I can stay with her for a while. So I stayed with her and talked with her for quite a while, but I was getting kind of tired. And so when the nurse came in to take the blood test, well, then I excused myself and I went home. And, of course, she died in a day or two after that. So then after she died, then Sue Kindred called me one day, and she said, "Vivian, I've been talking to the lawyer," and says, "don't you think," says, "if you go with me, we'll go over to the loom house and we'll pick out that stuff, that a lot of that stuff, surplus stuff, that we'll sell off some of those old books and things, you know, and kind of straighten the place up." I told her that we would then. So we set a date then that we'd go out and clean it up. She talked to the lawyer and told him what terms that we would sell some of the stuff. So we went out, we worked about 3 weeks every day. It was real hot, sweat run off of her nose and everything. And so we were cleaning, and she was cleaning the windows, and I was cleaning out the shelves. And I turned around and knocked the bottle of Windex off and broke it all to pieces. Sue said, "Vivian, that makes me nervous, too. I'm going to move Lou Tate upstairs." And I said, "Where's she at?" And she said, "Her ashes is in that vase." So she went out and took it upstairs then. And I said, "Ooh." I said, "I don't know what I'd come in out here if I'd have known that, but we've been out here for 3 weeks and it doesn't bother me now." So we went ahead then and got it cleaned up, and we took stuff that needed to be finished and stuff to wash and pressed it nice and everything. And so we then set the date. Then we opened up then for about 2 weeks, I believe it was, and sold things off then. And then after that, then we closed up. We went to... I was invited to Colonel Sanders' birthday party, but we were working out the loom house, and so I asked him if I could bring the loom house, you know, that I would have them 5 weavers and 5 spinners. So they said okay, and they paid us $25, you see. So we went up there for the one day then, and we sold over $200, I believe it was, of things, you know, and got the $25 and everything then. So that gave us a little nest egg then to start with. And then when the fair come, the lady invited me again. And then I invited Sue to go with me, just us two. But we went in the name of the loom house, you know, and had a display. She wove and I spun for 10 days of the fair. Well, that gave us some more money, you see, to put into the fund. So then we had a little, some money then to get started then. And then, and so then it's when we organized. Then we got the lawyer took over then, and we had the first board meeting and everything. For the first year. So that was the beginning of the new organization of the Little Loom House. We really thought if we didn't do that, that probably it would never open again. So that's why we didn't want it to wait too long, you know, to get that. And so then that's when it got started. And then after, then Sue and I talked, we started the teaching. Then we had scouts. We had classes on Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday night, and Saturday morning. And then every day we had scouts after school. We had scouts running out of ears almost. And so that was the beginning of the Lou Tate Foundation. After she had died, well, then they took her over to the funeral home, and they laid her out, and they wanted to put a... Instead of flowers on the casket, they put one of the coverlets in. Hearts and diamonds was spread on the casket. And then she didn't want no funeral, and she wanted to be cremated. And her ashes spread on the hill. And so they cremated her then and put the ashes in a vase. And so then afterwards, it was spread over the grounds.
This is the end of Side 1, Interview 1, with Vivian Hyatt about Lou Tate and the Little Loom House.